want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. That'll be the first passage we're going to look at in our study this morning, Ephesians chapter 1. So thankful for the presence of each and every one, especially those who are visiting with us. This holiday season takes some of our number away, and we've had sickness through the congregation, and so some are not able to be out for that reason, but visitors are always appreciated here at Knollwood. We're thankful you come our way. Ephesians chapter 1, and at verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That phrase, "in Christ," is a favorite of the Apostle Paul's. He uses it in every one of the letters that he's written in the New Testament. He uses this phrase, or its equivalent, about 170 times. With that kind of frequency, that ought to get our attention. It ought to tell us that "in Christ" is a great theme of the epistles, a great theme of the New Testament. Indeed, as we study, we realize that everything hinges on being in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that God has to offer us is found in, obtained in, and retained in Christ alone. We sang that song before we partook of the Lord's Supper. An excellent song, David. I'm glad that you included that. In Christ alone is where our everything is found. I want us to study this phrase, and I want us to consider just some of the many blessings that we are given that are found in Christ, the exclusiveness of this offer, how it is that we come to be in Christ, and then how it is that we stay in Christ. Let's take a look, though, as we start, at some of the blessings that are found in Christ. And these blessings are so numerous that no single sermon could cover them all. As a matter of fact, I believe that every blessing that we have in Christ could stand alone as its own sermon. But this is a survey type of study this morning, this part of the sermon. And so we're going to look at just a handful of them very briefly. Our text, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, the Apostle Paul sets forth seven blessings that are found in Christ. I want to look at just three from this passage these verses here as we begin looking at the blessings that are found in Christ. First is the fact that we are chosen in Christ. If you look at verses 4 and 5, just as He chose us in Him, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Think about that. We have been chosen by God. We have been predestined to adoption as sons. You know what this means? This means that God wants us. And think about what kind of a blessing that is. Of the things that you and I know that we have done, and yet, the fact that God still wants us, He's chosen us. He's predestined us to adoption. You don't get to choose the children that are born naturally to you, but you do get to choose whether or not you adopt a child. And God has chosen to adopt us into His family. He wants us. And what a great blessing that is, to know that God wants you and He wants me to be His child. Another blessing is in verse 7, we have redemption. God might have wanted us, but because of our sin, He couldn't have us without doing something about that sin. Verse 7, in Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Our sin separates us from God. God still wants us, but something has to be done about that sin. A price has to be paid to redeem us or to buy us back. And that incredible price that was paid was the blood of the Son of God. That's something that you and I are not deserving of. That's why it is according to the riches of His grace. What a great blessing that is. Not only that God wants us, but that he paid the price for us. And verse 11 tells us that we have an inheritance. Because after all, we are adopted into his family, we stand to receive an inheritance. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. If we have an inheritance, then brethren and friends, that means that we have hope. We have hope of something better that is waiting beyond this physical life. What great blessings we have in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that in Christ we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians at chapter 5 verse 17. We read this verse as we began our worship service this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does it mean to be a new creature or a new creation? Very early on when Nintendo had video games, I had one of the first set, the first count, and I don't remember what it was called. I'm sure a lot of you do. I don't remember, but it was the Super NES. It had two buttons on the front. One was the power button, and the other was the reset button. And I liked that reset button, because if Mario got in trouble and ran out of lives, and I didn't like the way this was going, all I had to do is reach up and just hit that button, and it all started over again. That's what this is, spiritually. We get to reset. We get to start all over again. Regardless of the kind of mess that we have made of our lives, if we are in Christ, we get a reset. We get to start over again. Now that doesn't mean that the temporal, the physical consequences of our sins and our choices are all gone, because they're not. But spiritually speaking, we start afresh. We start anew. We are a white canvas as we stand before God. The old things have passed away, Paul says. Old things are gone. That sin in our life, it is gone. Again, the consequences in this world may still be there, but our standing before God, those old things are gone, and behold, all things have become new. If I'm in Christ, I have a new master. I have a new purpose for existence and for living. I have a new way to live my life. I have a new relationship with the world around about me, a new relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, a new family. A great blessing that we have in Christ is we get to start over. We get to become a new creation. Another blessing we have in Christ is that we have the spiritual strength we need to make it through to our inheritance. In the book of Colossians, at chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, at verse 6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." So we are in Christ and we are walking in Christ. This Christianity thing is not a once and done thing. It's not something that we do just once and get taken care of and then the rest of our life is ours to do what we want with. No, we begin to walk in Christ. Verse 7, notice this. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Being in Christ is a major theme of these verses here, isn't it? But notice that in Christ we are built up, we are established, we are rooted, and we are planted in the faith. Based on the things that we have heard, the things that we have been taught from God's Word. And this allows us to survive all the distractions that may come in our walk. The false doctrines, the traditions, the philosophies of men. There's no need for us to become entangled over in those or to be tripped up by these things. We don't need to search for things outside of Christ to strengthen us because, verse 10 says, we are complete in Him. Everything that you and I need to get us through this life and into the next one is found in Christ. And what a great blessing that is. You talk about one-stop shopping. I don't want to trivialize what Christ gives to us, but it is all in one. Everything that we need is found in Christ. Fourth, we have peace in Christ. This is something that Jesus Himself promised. In John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What a great blessing that is to be at peace first with God. To be at peace with God, knowing that we have been redeemed, our sins have been forgiven, we've been reconciled unto God, as Paul teaches in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. In Him we have reconciliation. We're no longer enemies with God, but now we're at peace with God. And not only are we at peace with God, but having our sins forgiven, that allows us to be at peace with ourselves. No guilt in life. That line in that song, "In Christ Alone." No guilt in life. I can live a life at peace with myself because I know my sins have been forgiven. I know that I am walking the way that God has set forth for me to walk, and I can be at peace with others. I can be at peace with my brethren. I can be at peace with the world around me. If I am following after Christ, I am going to be a peacemaker. Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." What a great blessing we have in Christ that we can have peace. And another blessing we have in Christ is that we are joined to all believers. In the book of Romans at chapter 12 and verse 5, Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." You know what that means? That means that I'm not alone. And what a great blessing that is. That I'm not alone. You're not alone. We're in this together. And God has chosen us. He's predestined us. He's adopted us. He's put together His family from every walk of life and every nation under heaven. And these things that would normally divide people, they don't divide us because we are one in Christ. We are bound together and joined together in Christ. We have our brethren in the local church to help us. But even beyond that, we have our brethren throughout the world who are a source of encouragement to us. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9 that we are to resist Satan steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brethren in the world. And as technology gets greater, this world gets smaller, doesn't it? And we come into contact with believers in different parts of this country and indeed different parts of the world. And the things that they are going through and the success and the fruit that they are bearing, that's an encouragement to us as we encourage others as well. What a great blessing it is. So this is just some of the blessings that are found in Christ, that we are wanted by God, we're purchased by God, that we are given hope by God. We get to restart. We have peace. We have strength and completeness, and we are joined together with unbelievers. But here's something that we need to understand. These great blessings that are available to us are found only in Christ. They aren't found anywhere else. Now, the world in general holds the view. The prevailing thought of the world is that all religions are equally valid. That every religion that exists offers access to a higher being offers personal worth and purpose, offers a way to the afterlife. And that no one religion has exclusive rights on access to God or access to eternal life. Now that's the prevailing thought of the world. Matter of fact, even those who don't believe in God would say that no one is better than the other. But what is alarming is the number of people that call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, who subscribe to this idea and who say, now there's no one group that has it all right. We can't say that we're the only ones. While you just choose the path that you want to walk, they're all going in the same direction. And the number of people who claim to be followers of Christ who hold to this view, it's very troubling. Because although it is contrary to popular views and the popular opinion of the world, the Bible teaches that all blessings are found only in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 1 that he was an apostle by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Life is not found in anyone and everyone. Life is found only in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes, eternal life is God's gift, and it is given at God's good pleasure, but He only gives it through Jesus Christ. It's only found in Him. Jesus Himself offered exclusive access to God and to eternal life. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I wonder if Jesus were to appear today and were to make that statement today, how many people would turn and walk away from Him, finding it unacceptable? Many people would. But yet Jesus, with the authority that is given to Him as the divine Son of God, says, "I am it. I am the only one. I am the way, not one of many ways," and you choose the one you like. "I am the truth, not one of many possible truths, and you just choose me if you prefer me. I am the life, not one of many possibilities, the pathway to life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Christianity, true Christianity, is very exclusive, isn't it? This Jesus is very narrow-minded in this, isn't He? Yet He has the right to be so. It's only found in Christ. As we sing, in Christ alone. When the apostles, Peter and John, were threatened to quit preaching in the name of Jesus, they said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." None. There's only one. So these great blessings are ours, but they are only offered in Christ, not in Moses or the writings of Orthodox Judaism, not in Buddha or Confucius, not in Mohammed and the Quran, not in Joseph Smith, not in the Watchtower Society, not by the Virgin Mary or any other individual, group, or publication that would come by and knock on your door and offer you something. No, it's found only in Christ. Well, if that's true, and it is, if that's true, then isn't it important that you and I understand how to get in Christ? If every spiritual blessing is found in Christ, it's imperative that we get in Christ. Because outside of Christ, all we have are the consequences of our sins. Without any hope and without any mercy, we have to be in Christ. But the important thing is that we understand how it is that we get into Christ. And God has not left that up to us to decide for ourselves, but rather God has told us through the preaching of the gospel. It's not by physical birth. That's what the Jews thought. Remember, the Jews said, "We're children of Abraham." And John the Baptist said, that's not good enough. And Jesus said, "That's not good enough. God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones." It's not by physical birth. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean that you're in Christ. Just because your family has a long-standing tradition through generations of being a Christian doesn't mean that you've inherited that. No, it's not through physical birth. It's not by doing good to outweigh our bad. It's not about getting busy and doing good so that it outweighs the bad, so that in the end, hopefully, that the scales will be tipped in our favor and we can get into heaven because the good we've done outweighs the bad that we have done in this life. A lot of people have that meritorious approach to the afterlife. A lot of people do. Let me tell you, our first sin that we commit condemns our soul to hell. And there's nothing that we can do of ourselves to atone for that. So it's not about doing good to atone for our bad and to earn our way into heaven. It's not about praying through for salvation, to be invited to come down to the front pew and to pray through to be saved, or to invite Jesus to come into our heart to be our personal Savior. We hear that from people from time to time. It's not taught anywhere in Scripture. It's not. We don't pray through for our salvation. It's not by faith only. Now, faith is essential. Unless we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we will die in our sins. Jesus taught that in John 8 and verse 24. But it's not by faith alone. Our faith has to move us to meet the conditions that He has set forth as the author and finisher of our salvation. How does the Bible say that we get in to Christ? We're not born physically into Christ. We don't earn our way into Christ. We don't believe our way into Christ or pray our way into Christ. But there are two verses in the Bible that tell us that we are baptized into Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 3. Romans chapter 6 and at verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Notice where that newness of life begins. It's after baptism. It's at baptism that we enter into Christ and we receive the forgiveness of our sins. That's where we are adopted as a child in the family of God, where we are born again at baptism. In the book of Galatians, at chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3, verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do we get into Christ? He's talking about those who are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26. "But it's not by faith only. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So how do we get into Christ? It's through that act of baptism that we enter into Christ and we have fellowship with Christ and we're recognized as being in Christ. And it's there that we have access to all of these blessings. But we need to consider very quickly before we draw this to a close, how do we stay in Christ? Another false doctrine that's very popular is once saved, always saved. That is, once you become a Christian, you're saved, and there's absolutely nothing that you can do to cause yourself to be lost. It's a very comforting doctrine, but it's false. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The Scriptures teach that we can fall from grace. That we can separate ourselves from Christ, no longer being in Christ, and we can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5 And at verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. To be estranged from someone is to be separated from them. The English Standard Version, New American Standard Version, both say that you are severed from Christ. That means you were once joined, and now you're not. The King James Version says Christ is become of no effect unto you. That is probably the most literal translation of the Greek words that comprise that phrase. It means to be released from an association with someone. We were once in Christ, but now we aren't any longer. And because of that, we have fallen from grace. So how do we keep that from happening? Colossians 1 and at verse 23 tells us that remaining in Christ is conditional. It's not permanent. It is conditional. Just as becoming a Christian is conditional, so and getting into Christ is conditional, so remaining in Christ is conditional. There's this word if in Colossians 1 verse 23, and that word shows up all through the Bible. That tricky little word indicates that there's a condition that has to be met. If you do this, then there's that. If, indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Remaining in Christ is conditioned upon us remaining faithful to Christ. To continuing in the faith, to being grounded and steadfast, unmovable from the hope that lies before us. Indeed, no one can snatch us out of the Lord's hand. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, John 10, verses 28 and 29, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. If you and I are in Christ, no one can reach in and remove us from Christ. But we can walk out on our own. If we choose to no longer be faithful, if we choose to stop continuing in the faith, and we're no longer steadfast, and we walk away from our hope, we will no longer be in Christ. So it's imperative that we are in Christ. But we need to understand that it's possible that we can leave Christ, that we can be removed, or we can remove ourselves from Christ. In Christ alone, our hope is found. Every spiritual blessing that God has to offer us is found only in Christ. I want you to think about this for just a moment. It is important that we believe in Christ. It's important that we have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. But believing in Christ will do us no good if we're not in Christ, will it? We have to be in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's only sin and darkness and hopelessness and loneliness. But in Christ is everything. I ask this morning, are you in Christ? Have you done what Jesus says we need to do in order to enter into fellowship with Him? To be born again, to be regenerated, to be renewed, to become a new creature, are you in Christ? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, have you repented of your sins, confessed your faith, and been baptized into Christ as the Bible teaches? If not, you need to do so today, right now. The water is ready. Everything is ready if you're ready to be in Christ. If you've done that, but you're no longer faithful, and you believe that you've lived in such a way that you're no longer in Christ, you need to repent and you need to come back. You need to come back to the Lord. You'll find Him where you left Him. Turn and come back. If you're overwhelmed, if you're discouraged, if you need our prayers for spiritual strength, we'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your spiritual need is, We invite you to let it be made known by coming forward. Give me your hand and the Lord your heart. Come as we stand and sing this song.